UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I would take Mark Stoops and Steve Satterfield over Mike Gundy.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
So we shall see.
Okay.
Okay, my voice cracked. That's nice. We got a long 3 hours here.
And James Strebel.
Nutty.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
How dare you?
There's not three people that know what we're talking about. Boy, there's a big cough
The
mic. Texter agrees. Nobody celebrates Grandparents' Day. You do grandmother and grandfather on Mother and Father's Day accordingly. I totally buy that. Strebel has dropped the ball here.
Yeah.
And he will have to repent to his family in short order. So he will be doing that at 6 o'clock. We got you for another hour. Andy Sweeney, James Strebel, Mitchell Hannigan back at the Papa John's Studios. If you want to get in the UPS Jobs text line, as always, 437-9680. Reminder, directly after the show, I'm watching my dog right now. She's up to something.
Yeah.
Directly following the show, we'll have the podcast up. You can get that on iTunes, SoundCloud, ESPN, Louisville.com, and much more. I'm watching her right now.
All
right, there he
around.
Is. Oh, yeah. Ruby's up to something right
yeah.
now. Look at that face.
She's trying to get you
Oh, yeah.
sleeping.
Look at that face.
Yeah.
So we've talked about Zion Williamson and the Dookies and everything else. We've had some fun with that. We still have some more sound. I do want to get into and fix potentially one thing that I said with the Kenny Johnson discussion as he is gone there at LaSalle. So we can get into that. There are some nuggets to take away from that. So we still have a lot to do. I wanted to bring up real quick for you guys, if you saw the story over the weekend, did you see the story of the guys who tried to steal the ATM machine?
Yes.
Did
yes.
you see that?
Yes, they tried to
The Holiday Manor Center, which is near Brownsboro Road.
Yes.
It was a Chase Bank. And a stolen F-250, they tried to, they just did what you would do in like a movie. And they ripped the ATM from the wall, dragging it down the road with chains. And apparently the police recovered the ATM, and it didn't, I haven't seen a new story in the last day and a half or so that nothing was taken from it. I mean, what movie was that? Was it, what movie had the ATM that was taken? It wasn't one of the Friday movies, was it?
I don't know about movies, but I remember the Breaking Bad episode.
They
had
yeah,
the
Breaking
family
Bad
had the
had
ATM.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The meth head couple, and they took it back to their house, and Jesse was like, they were trying to get it
right.
open.
Right. The initial story, and you guys help me here, and I don't know, maybe we need Diener or we need Locke, you know, somebody.
Okay. Speaking of, my grandma's now calling me.
Well, I want you to answer it right
yes.
now. Leave your mic on. And I just want that in the background. Let's go.
Hello? No, this is Mitchell.
Couldn't have
went. Oh, that's fine. That's okay.
It couldn't have went any better than that.
Good.
Right
how are
there.
You?
My grandmother's calling. Hello.
Hello.
No, this is Mitchell. What a great sentence.
I'm trying to call your brother.
That's good to hear. All right, I got to run real fast. I'm at work. No wrong thing. Bye. She's trying to call my mom.
Oh man.
I got so scared. I was like, there's a 0.00001% she's listening to this show right now, and that she's calling me. She's mad because I didn't wish her a happy Mother's Day. That scared me to hell.
She's going to get you on the phone and read you the riot
act.
Well,
no, I got worried there was something wrong in your family, and it was, yeah.
No, she heard from the show, and she's like, I'm going to get this guy.
If your grandmother was listening to the show, that would delight me, and that would be the exact genre that I would want. Grandmother women in middle of Kentucky. That's exactly what the demo is of the show. But I didn't know this. The Brownsboro Road, this ATM, they referred to it as the Trump.
The Trump.
As the Trump ATM. And a buddy of mine texted me. It was the Anthony Anderson movie in Barbershop.
Oh, yes, Barbershop.
Who the bleep touched my apple juice?
That's right. Yes, Eve. That was Eve with the apple juice. Yes, but yeah, Anthony Anderson, and they tried to get it. Didn't he live in like a second floor apartment?
Yeah, they tried to get it up the stairs.
Yeah, and it fell on his foot. That's it. Yes, Barbershop. I hadn't seen that one in years. Yes, that was. I didn't like the sequels, but the first one was good.
You're a Barbershop fan.
It was funny. It had its moments.
You've never been in any sort of a situation where you've went to the barbershop. You're just supercuts.
Yes.
Yeah, you go in, you get the supercut, $10 haircut, and you get the hell out of there. You don't even get the MVP. You get scared.
I do get scared.
Just in case.
Yes. I don't. I don't do the $18 haircut or the $24 haircut. I do the $12 haircut.
Barbershop.
And I get out.
That's the only thing I remember.
From the
somebody,
movie.
Yeah. Why? Who's been touching my apple juice?
The apple juice, the ATM.
Yeah, those are maybe the only two things that I remember. Yeah. What is that? I mean, they called it the Trump Chase Bank.
Why is it the? Trump?
I have no idea. Is that like one of the nicer areas that has that bank? I have no idea.
The Trump Chase
Bank. But these guys, you would think that you would do the research to open the ATM machine if you're going to do something like this, because it's a bank, so you know there's cameras everywhere.
Everywhere,
okay? This is like a nice area, right?
Yes.
So you know there are cameras everywhere. Like you would figure you had went through thorough training on how to open up an ATM machine.
Well, I think that's probably they knew they couldn't open it up, so they stole a truck, so one of their vehicles couldn't be linked to the theft. So they steal a truck. They rip out the ATM machine. I guess they thought they were going to get back to their crib or wherever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ditch the truck and then try to open it after all that. But they had the foresight to steal a truck first so it wouldn't be linked back to them. It's like the criminal masterminds here that are working on the ATM machine. It got busted. I think he's going to drag it back to the house. He's just dragging it down the street. I mean, how dumb is that?
I don't know. It's great,
though. Yeah,
it is funny. So what did your grandmother say when she called, Mitch?
I don't know. It's very hard to hear while you guys were talking, but she's just everything's good back home in Murray, Kentucky. Everyone had a nice Mother's Day down there, and she's just, you know, asking what was happening up here, and I said it was all good.
Texter says, did they steal a truck?
Oh, I know. As soon as I said it, I knew steal, not steal. I did that the other day. I was talking about the window seal. In our house, I called the window sill, and my wife had a lot of fun with that one.
Texter, haymaker that Strebel has seen Barbershop.
Why is that?
I actually disagree with that.
Yeah, I've seen Barbershop. It's a popular movie.
Texter says, man, is it just me, or did Mitch really rush his grandmother off the phone just now?
I'm producing a radio show.
loosely what we're doing right now is a radio show. It's technically on the air. This one's great. I wish I could give, I mean, this is a t-shirt. Happy Mudder's Day from Murray Mitch.
Mudder's Day.
That's fantastic. Oh. Do you have a Murray Minute ready to go to right now? Or do you
not really.
Scrambly,
no.
Not really. So you
there's nothing, dude. There's nothing. I looked at the
let's pull up the website. Hang on, what is it? The Murray Advocate Messenger? What is it?
It's the Murray Ledger and Times.
Ledger and Times. Let you get these stories ready. Hang on. Let's look at the local news quickly. You have the bridge rehabilitation project.
That was one of my stories.
You have COVID-19. You know, places are going to be opening up.
I got some local businesses I can shout out.
Okay. There you go. That's all you need.
That's it.
Maybe one or two more small stories here. Yeah, I mean, how about this one? Chadwick said earlier that frost tonight means crops and plants could suffer. That's journalism.
Yeah, it's big J journalism.
Who's Chadwick?
I have no idea. Guessing that he's like the handles all the agriculture for the city.
Oh, here it
all.
Is. He's the Callaway County Extension Agent.
Oh.
I don't know the Chadwick family.
I don't know the Chadwick family.
Mitz, what do you call your grandmother? Because I know you don't call her grandmother.
You
like, what's your name for her?
I just call her Mammy?
No, I just call her Grandma.
Really? I'm disappointed in that. I thought it'd be like Meemaw.
I thought it would be Meemaw. I thought it would be Granny, actually.
Granny or Meemaw.
Maybe when I was younger, but not now. It's just Grandma.
I'm a little sad.
I call my grandpa Papa, though.
That's what my kids call my dad. I thought Peepaw or Papaw. Papaw.
That's what my sister calls my grandpa.
Would you get your dad heaters for Father's Day? You get him, Indian Spirits or whatever it is?
Generally my dad.
From Kellen Strebel. Yeah. Here's some heaters.
Yeah, he gets a gift, and then usually I pick him up some beer. That's what he likes. I enjoy getting beer as gifts, too.
I see you got a gift from your school. How about that?
That's right. I got a 12-pack.
How about that?
They know my brand.
There you go. Yep. You like that, don't you?
I did. I loved it. Yeah, I got a 12-pack of Yingling on my porch on Saturday.
Well, there you go. Something I wanted to mention, 437-9680. So we'll get into the nonsense here as we go. No Mark Ennis today. We still have this lock sound. We have the 15-year anniversary. I've forgotten that. You know what I kind of want to do? I want to do the sound bracket tomorrow. I want to do the Final Four tomorrow. We had such big stories that actually did come down. I mean, we had 2 days of notice allegation talk and then the Olivier Saar, and we're like scrambling. And then it can't do it Friday because we have, 35, 45 minutes of sound that we do on the mixtape. So let's do it tomorrow so we can promote it. We'll do like a next day, Mitch, a lookie, so we can run that onto other shows. I want to correct something that I may have been wrong. A tweeter brought up a good point, and usually I see the text line, I see Twitter, and I see it as just hate, which is fun. It's funny, and we make it a part of the show here. But I will continue to ask the question, and the answer still might be an I don't know, and that is Kenny Johnson let go at LaSalle, and I keep wanting to call it LaSalle now, at LaSalle, and he's let go, and that became official today, and so it took the university, 5 days or whatever, to get their ducks in a row from the notice of allegations and to move on. What was that, last Tuesday or Wednesday?
I thought it was Monday.
Was it last Monday even?
I believe it was Monday,
Whatever it is, I mean, you're looking at about a week it has taken them, and so obviously, it is interesting because of the time. Nothing has really fundamentally changed other than, I mean, we knew the NCAA was going to allege this. We knew the NCAA wasn't going to drop the notice of allegations on U of L and say, oh, Kenny Johnson, he didn't do anything.
Right.
It's all Rick Pitino or it's Jordan Farron. It wasn't even all Rick Pitino. And so Louisville fans always had 437-9680 in their back pocket. Louisville fans always had, well, Kenny Johnson got a job and has kept a job. Mm-hmm. And then in the last couple months, when Rick Pitino got the job at Iona, it was one of those things to where Louisville, you could throw. I mean, listen, you guys think it's such a big deal. Rick Pitino's got a level two. He's not even going to be suspended a year, maybe not even half the year.
Right.
He's going to be coaching again. And Kenny Johnson has been a coach at the D1 level. Okay, and obviously his fall from grace from Indiana to U of L. Who wanted him? Was it NC State that made the move?
Yes, it was NC State.
Was that Gottfried or Keats?
Yeah, it's Gottfried.
Was that Gottfried? I mean,
yeah.
Good thing. You get mixed up in that mess. Of course, I say that, and
he's
here
already
you
in
are.
A mess.
And so, like, they a texter made the point. He's not wrong that they've already done. Kenny Johnson's already talked to the NCAA. And what I don't know, and I'll ask the question: if the investigation is done, like, what changes with Kenny Johnson not being there? As a coach under the umbrella of the institution known as the NCAA, because if Kenny Johnson, I wonder how much he changes his story if he knows that the NCAA is coming after him. Like, right? And I don't know the answer. Like, I don't know if today Kenny Johnson being fired matters at all. I mean, in other words, is the NCAA, because a lot of people have said, well, this isn't good for Louisville. Okay, it's not good, but does it really mean that it's bad for U of L? Or does it not matter? Because Kenny Johnson, if he was even employed over the next year or so while U of L was going and fighting the NCAA, does it change anything Louisville's cry that, well, Kenny Johnson has a job at LaSalle? Does that move the needle for the NCAA to say, you know what, you're exactly right.
He's fine.
We need to give you lesser of a sentence because you're right, Kenny Johnson is still at the D1 level. Like, I have no idea. There's been a lot of talk about it today. I don't know if the NCAA would ever go back to him. I don't know if his story would change if he wasn't employed and he never would have talked to the NCAA. It would have hurt U of L the way it did Payne Siva and others who did not want to come to Louisville's defense during the Katina Powell. But I saw that today. I just think it's a washing of these assistant coaches who are going to be the ultimate fall men.
They are.
And I don't know if Kenny Johnson, does he want to coach again? And if he does, how does that change the story? How would it change the story? I don't know if he's telling the truth. Would he tell the truth to the NCAA? Has he been telling the truth to the NCAA? What is the truth, right? Like, I tend to still believe it doesn't change much for me, James, because Brian Bone Sr., his testimony under, you know, what am I trying to think? Not a court of law. Under oath is going to matter more than Kenny Johnson's. That's the way I have viewed it. And while I don't believe either one of these guys, one of them's under oath, reading the coverage, the NCAA is going to care about one more than the other. But I know it's news today. I guess I totally don't know what to do with the news other than if I knew the NCAA still needed to talk to Kenny Johnson, or now that he's been fired, does the NCAA go back to him or vice versa? And I think the answer to that is probably no. It's just bad luck, or it's odd luck, I guess, that they would roll with him for 2 years and not just keep him there until you know he's going to get in trouble, which is going to be an entire another year.
Yeah, it's the only way, in my opinion, that it matters for U of L that he got fired is if he says, bleep it, I want to try to coach in college basketball again, and I'm going to go talk to the NCAA, and I'm going to tell them that, yeah, this did happen, I'll come clean, go ahead and slap the nose of allegations on me, and you know, he himself takes a gamble. He himself takes a gamble and goes and discusses with the NCAA and says, yes, this happened. Then and only then will it matter to U of L. Because I think the NCAA, because
he's going to say no, and he's banking, as we all are, that there's just no evidence. I don't think anything changes with that. I think this is just LaSalle saying, okay, it came out officially from the NCAA, and we're just not going to deal with it when it's an assistant coach.
Yeah.
Again, you can take the gamble with Iona because Iona gets Rick Pitino.
Right.
You take the gamble with him. With Kenny Johnson, they're much easier to find. Assistant coaches are. Hall of Fame coaches, not so much.
Fundamentally different.
Yeah. So I don't know if it does anything for it other than if Kenny Johnson goes on some media tour that it's BS, or if Kenny Johnson flips in some sort of way. But I think this now means that the NCAA is not going to be able to follow up at all with Kenny Johnson, I would imagine, given that he's not under their jurisdiction. But I don't know what he can do to get himself in any sort of graces to get back to coach, because, I mean, someone's going to be the fall guy here.
Right.
I mean, whether it's not just going to be Jordan Fair.
No.
Okay? He's already the fall guy. Someone else, other people are going to be the fall guys here, whether it be the current staff or students or a guy like Kenny Johnson. And I do think it's going to be Kenny Johnson as well. I mean, I think it's a multiple year show cause for Kenny Johnson. These assistants are going to get smoked. The question is, are the head coaches? And I mean the head coaches, that it's not easy. Mark Gottfried, Will Wade, low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, Rick Pitino was as well. But Rick Pitino is already back getting the job.
Yeah, he already has the head coach's job.
Rick Pitino wanted to stay a year or two at Iona and then go to UCLA or go anywhere, like, that would be available for him to do. Do I think it's necessarily going to happen? I don't. But, again, go after, you know, if the Zion nonsense turns into being, hey, this is something that's a major eligibility issue of some kind, right? Go after Sean Miller. Go after
Bill Self.
Bill Self, right.
I think that's
going to
happen.
We're going to see. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But early on, it's easy to take down Mark Gottfried and Penny Hardaway even.
Sure.
It's easy to snicker when it's Rick Pitino.
Boom.
But when it's these other coaches, what is going to happen?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think Bill Self is going to be the first coach to really get it from the NCAA. Because, I mean, you look at Rick right now.
Because he's beloved by the media.
Yes.
Because he's a winner at a top program, and they got him nailed.
They have
five it. Level one, lack of institutional control, Bill Self not having an atmosphere of compliancy. You knew Adidas was up in your business, and you didn't do anything to stop it. In fact, you encouraged it. Five level ones. Louisville got one and did not get any lack of institutional control.
And Pitino got a level two.
Yep.
I mean, like we said last week, all his level two violation says is, hey, you didn't report that Brian Bowen got an offer from DePaul. That was it. That was the level two violation. With Bill Self, will the NCAA go at him double barrels like it seems like they will?
Well, they'll go after the assistants. My point being is someone's got to be the fall guy, and right now it can't be Will Wade, Mark Gottfried, and Tony Bland.
No.
It can't be the USC assistant and a U of L assistant or two and Book Richardson.
Yeah.
That ain't going to cut it. That's not going after coaches.
No.
That's doing the Indiana thing, firing Senderhoff before you fire Calvin Sampson, which is a musty reference. That's what they did.
They did. No,
they fired the assistant, and then the coach came to follow.
That's two former IU assistants that we've gone over today, including Kenny Johnson, which I forgot, but when he was on IU staff, that's when Tom Crean was getting guys. He's getting the Zellers and the
– He was getting guys.
Oladipos and the Watfords. But, yeah, if the NCAA we'll see if they're serious about this with Bill Self, because he rubbed it in their faces. He said, I don't give a damn what
they
you
are.
Say.
I think they are.
I agree with you. I think they are. But if it comes out in a couple of weeks or months or whatever that Bill Self isn't held as accountable as maybe assistants or Adidas or whatever.
Well, we're going to find out.
Well, we're going to find out. And then the reaction from the media fanboy club is going to be fascinating. When it's like Bill Self
when it's
is
one of their guys.
He's in the crosshairs. And not only in the crosshairs, he's being completely targeted by the NCAA and saying, you're the one that's the architect. You're the one that's in trouble more than anybody. We'll see what happens. And Sean Miller deserves it, too. Look, Sean Miller is as culpable as Bill Self. They have as much on him as they do on Self and Wade and Gottfried and the rest of these guys.
Sure.
Let's see if they go after the upper tier of coaches in the NCAA.
Texas says, hey, guys, just tuning in. Do we get an update from Big Easy on Andrea Kramer and her HD appearance last night on The Last Dance? If you have not heard that sound, here it is, Big Easy, Zach McCrite, the mouth of the Midwest.
I can always remember thinking, I said this on the air, all right, one of my first shows on the air in 2005, I was like, you know who HD was made for? Not Andrea Kramer.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You know what? Tough
break for her.
That's over the line, isn't it?
That is over the line. That's what, remember?
And Big Easy just said that. It meant nothing. Like, he just said it.
You remember when Tony Kornheiser went after Hannah Storm?
Oh, yeah.
And got suspended by ESPN? It reminds me of that, because it was unsolicited. It was just like, hey, Hannah Storm, blah, 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 for no reason. The same thing there with Big Easy. And shame on you, Big Easy. Shame on you. How would you do with HD?
Dick Vitale 9 minutes ago. Yes, Hoops at UK Coach Calipari is a recruiting machine. Anyone that knows him well just knew after losing Matt Harms to BYU that he would be on the prowl. Yes, and here comes Olivier Saar. Him tweeting that out 9 minutes ago. I'm not sure why he has done that. Ethan Moore and Louisville Sports Live not happy about this.
Uh-oh.
Interesting how UK, along with Duke, UNC, Kansas, etc., reel in these top classes each year, and every S has
Ethan.
The money sign. Is Ethan okay?
I don't think he
is. Ethan,
man.
Okay? Who's hurting the most? Is it Blankenbaker or Ethan?
I think it's Ethan.
Who is suffering?
Ethan too.
I think it's Ethan, man.
Ethan is so determined for them to find something on Nike. Determined.
These guys are outside of this, they're normal, they have jobs. Ethan Moore is super tan.
Yeah,
Ethan's
they,
all about
they both
that.
Have families and wives and or just one wife each. Wives and families, right?
Yeah.
Ethan's but, about that three stripe life. I don't know if Blangenbaker's all about that three.
Oh,
stripe
he doesn't
life.
Care about Adidas yeah. and Nike. No, he just wants to see Kentucky.
Ethan is all about the Adidas thing. Like he's all in.
But now I'm worried about him.
I am too.
Everything that happens in this land of Duke and Kentucky, and they get mad.
Well, it's like
and they just start sniping everybody in Nike. Like, why are we trying to bring down Nike, Ethan? I like Nike.
It's
settle
like
down.
What you said earlier, he's going after the Punisher. His Louisville's getting ready to get punished by the NCAA, and he's rooting for the NCAA to punish everybody else. Yeah. That's exactly what
he's
you said.
He's rooting for the bad guy.
He is.
That's what's happening.
Yes.
That's exactly what's happening.
And he, boy, he it's Olivier Sarr. We're excited he's a good player, but don't get that bad about Olivier Sarr, Ethan.
Also, is this Evansville guy going to make a decision today? I mean, it's 5-5.
I hope not.
Okay, so what's going on there? Are they trying to keep McCore Maker? I mean, do they want him? And the thing is, this kid wants to go to Kentucky, but he's worried
yes.
that Maker's going. But Maker's a perceived one-and-done, and DeAndre Williams isn't going to be playing next season. Does he think he's going to get a waiver?
Yeah, I think the thought is because of what went down with Walter McCarty and the Title IX stuff and everything, that he would get a waiver. Like, the thinking is that he'd get a waiver before Olivier Sarr would get a waiver. Like, the thinking is that because what happened with McCarty was so egregious and, like, out of nowhere.
Right.
That his waiver possibility is greater than
Sarr's. So that's what's happening here then. This kid's like, wait a minute, I was going to go there because normally I wouldn't be good enough for Kentucky, but they have a need right now, and college basketball, along with John Calipari, are changing just a little bit.
Sure.
Okay, the way that he is tooling and he's filling a lot more of his roster.
Yes.
Okay, so the combination of all those things makes someone like, who seems to be an all right player, DeAndre Williams, to where, and I don't know, I saw him play one game, the Evansville game,
right.
And I didn't know who the hell he was.
Right.
And that's the only game. So that would be the argument for him, but he's got to be worried. The thought process from John Rothstein, and by the way, I don't trust the reporting of John Rothstein or the opinion or the Twitter account of anything John Rothstein.
Anything.
But John Rothstein says that UCLA and Kentucky seem to be the leaders if he goes to college, and there seems to be a growing thought that he is going to go to college.
Correct.
That
correct.
Seems to be the thought.
Yes.
But I don't know, are there any, and I ask this, are there any eligibility concerns with him? So because Sarr, you have one.
Yes.
Will he play next year? And DeAndre Williams, you have one. You're going to have to go through a potential fight with the NCAA. And it may not be a fight. I don't know. But these waiver things, there's a back and forth. Cal's going to come out here and start picketing at some point.
Sure,
he's going to start cheerleading at some point. But like I don't know if Maker McCore Maker is actually if that's the other guy that like Keon Brooks Sr. was talking about last week.
Right. Like the thought process is, I mean, he petitioned to be eligible for the NBA draft after senior year and was granted the eligibility by the NCAA. They said, okay, or the NBA, you can declare for the draft. It's okay. And then with the pandemic and he's not able to work out and go to the combine and do these other things and showcase his skills, the thought process is, okay, I'll go do 1 year in college. And he said G League is off the table. Like, he's not going to do the G League. He's going to either go to college or just go ahead and say, bleep it, I'm going to go to the NBA. But there are eligibility issues with him. I remember when his cousin Thonmaker was going through the same process, he was not going to be eligible. He's from Australia. He's been to multiple different schools, and he has a handler. And you know how that goes whenever there's a handler involved. It's kind of like a Scalabissier situation, to where he's from another country. He's been to multiple different schools. And eventually Scalabissier was cleared. I guess John Calipari's thought process is, we got him cleared with Sandy Bell, we could get McCore Maker, because he didn't play like pro basketball.
What a busy – no, I mean, it sounds like he's good to go.
He should be. If I were willing to guess, I think he would be good.
Because I haven't seen any. Well, he might not be eligible. With Olivier Sarr and with DeAndre Williams, it was very well known. What would be – would the best-case scenario be Sarr and Maker?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, but both of those guys are you know – or would it be – Olivier Sarr and DeAndre Williams. DeAndre Williams would be a guy who would, can play at some level. He can play at the D1 level. Will that translate to being 15 a game or whatever? Probably not at Kentucky, but he could be a solid De'Veon Mintz type role. Not starting, but off the bench big, and maybe spot starting and everything else.
You know me, Andy. I'm taking the I'm taking the five-star top 10 high school player.
The problem that Kentucky has here is we don't know the length of the wait because we don't know what the NBA is doing. And at some point here, if you're Cal and you want to get Maker in, then you lose DeAndre Williams. And then if Maker doesn't show, now you've lost both of them. And Olivier Saar has to be viewed very much as 50-50 whether he's going to be eligible, right? So you're trying to balance. Could I have just knocked everything off my table? Good God. You're trying to balance three different eligibility issues, all three different eligibility / NCAA / decisions all at the same time.
Right.
All while not knowing any concrete dates on what the hell's going to happen with the NBA draft.
Right. Well, if we're going to take a gamble, because we don't know if DeAndre Williams is going to be eligible. We already have three guys that are 6'9 on Kentucky's roster, right? McCour Maker is 6'11. So if you take Saar and McCour Maker, and Saar doesn't get worked, he doesn't work out, right? He's not eligible. You still have a 6'11 five-star top 15-ish player in your holster for center. I would if I'm gonna take a chance on either Maker or Williams, I'll take my chances with Maker. I'll go for him.
Yeah,
I'd rather have him.
I'm with you, but if I play devil's advocate, DeAndre Williams maybe for 1 year and then having some upside, there's more value than gambling with McCour Maker who might be good, but he also might be, you know, and Fale Dante last year did very little for Oregon.
Yeah,
that would be the other side. In other words, DeAndre Williams doesn't have the upside, but you're never going to see the upside of Maker anyway because if he's there 1 year, if he's there for 30 some odd games,
right,
he could be 7 points a game and still think he's going to go to the NBA.
And he probably will. But I guess my only thing with DeAndre Williams is okay, we just had Nate Sestina, right, who came in and did very little for Kentucky all year long.
He had athletic limitations. You don't think this guy does. That would be my argument.
But he had a three-point. But now he came in with a three-point shot, right? So he had something else in his toolbox.
He shoot 65% last year.
Who did?
DeAndre Williams shot 65%. From the field.
From the field? Okay.
Yeah, he's not a three-point shooter. He averaged, I'm eyeballing it here. I mean, probably averaged two a game, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, with Nate Sestina, I guess the thought process was, at least with him, he would come in and be able to give
He shot 45% from three.
He did.
Yeah, and I mean, that means one of two, three of three, 0 of 3, 1 of 2, so you're not going to rely on that, but he shot 45%, which would easily be the leader last year, right, for Kentucky?
Sure.
I mean, Max, he shot 29%, but again, he shot a lot.
Well, quickly shot, 40, 41%, like that.
Right, and again, you would have won it quickly over DeAndre Williams.
Oh, absolutely.
Percentages don't always mean something, but he did shoot 45% from three last year.
I just feel like he would get lost in the shuffle. I think he'd be like the eighth or ninth guy off the bench. That's how I feel. I think Isaiah Jackson and Lance Ware would both play over him. I think he'd be buried in the roster. With McCour Maker, I think he would be maybe the...
You think Maker's that much better, though?
Yes.
You think he is?
Yes.
That would be the question. The five-star who hasn't proven anything versus the guy, you know, who's played at a lower level, who has the numbers in college, but what do the numbers mean? And obviously, take that, you know, take him for what it's worth. I mean, a 28 against Valpo. I mean, yes, obviously that. But I say that a couple games in the SEC and that crap non-conference schedule at Rupp Arena,
yeah,
he could play in those games.
Yeah, he could. No,
DeAndre Williams could play in those games. He could play in about 15 games right now for Kentucky.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand completely. But, I mean, I'm just not going to back off my stance.
You've been consistent. I'll give you credit. You've been consistent.
That the mid-major grad transfers they don't pack the same punch. I think there's a much bigger risk with mid-major transfers than there are with five-star high school talent. I just do. You just see that working out way more often than you do with mid-major transfers. You go back last year and look at all the mid-major transfers down the list, and you can compare their numbers to five-star high school players, and I guarantee you the mid-major transfers didn't stack up as well. And they're not – you could read it in the ones that are going pro. Who's going pro? The five-star one-and-done kids go pro at a much higher clip than these grad transfers. So I just don't trust it. I don't trust it.
Mitch, have we taken a break this hour? I legitimately cannot remember.
No, we haven't. Patty Ice came in here and started talking to me, and he was like, what are they talking about? I was like, literally 10 minutes ago, I just go, is this Evansville dude going to make an announcement today? And even talking UK roster talk for the next 10 minutes.
Tell Patty Ice to go be a Louisville fan somewhere. tell Patty Ice.
Throw the L's up.
To have Ennis prick his finger with blood like they do. Don't the Catholics do that? Didn't the Pope do that? Don't they do something with pricking of blood? Lord of the Rings?
I think you're thinking of like when mobsters are made. Like when a gangster is
Popes
like,
don't do any of that blood stuff.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure, yeah.
I don't know.
I know when you're made in the mafia, like you
what
have to break your
Dan
finger.
What about that Dan Brown novel?
Oh.
I think they did something with the blood.
I'm sure. Well, there is the transubstantiation during communion where the wine turns to blood.
Tell Patty Ice to tomorrow we're gonna do a NASCAR segment with him.
Yes.
Tell Patty Ice to have it ready. We'll come up with a nickname and we'll do that. I will keep this name anonymous, but someone at our radio station has said the following to me via text.
Uh-oh.
Ethan's about the three-stripe life, and there's no doubt about it.
Yes.
However, Blankenbaker called me out for wearing Nikes to a U of L tailgate.
Oh. Really?
I totally could see that.
Like, you have to be head-to-toe Adidas.
Oh, I could totally see that.
At the football game, or you're not a real fan.
I can totally see that, yeah.
Jeez. I'm a Kentucky fan. I hardly own anything Nike. I don't really own anything Nike.
Well, that's because
Nike.
You shop at Old Navy. They don't sell Nike at Old Navy.
But I don't think my fan card should be rejected because I don't support the shoe company that sponsors our school.
Mitch, we need to do this. Every U of L tailgate that we go to, we need to be draped head to toe in Nike.
Oh, I got a Nike hoodie. I got Nike sweatpants. I got Nike shoes. I'm wearing them all first game.
Absolutely.
I'm going to show up in all
Asics. Make sure it's done. In all Asics.
Show up in all Asics.
The Old Navy American flag shirt. Remember
Oh, yeah, I've got three of them.
Oh, don't tell me. Wear it tomorrow. Bring them in tomorrow.
Okay.
Don't tell me you do.
No, let me
tell me your wife doesn't let you wear that.
Yeah, I would buy the 4th of July
Strieble,
Old Navy shirts.
Strieble, no, not the Old Navy shirts.
I may have gotten rid of all of them because they're all
weathered.
2018.
Oh yeah, they're weathered.
And then that, like 3 weeks later, they're already tearing up and fraying at the seams.
Texter Strieble gets the Walmart brand UK gear. Yeah, yeah.
No, when I do
Texter,
buy,
Texter, I would tell Blankenbaker to go to hell.
When I do buy UK gear, I do buy the Nike gear.
All right.
Except for that one shirt I have that has.
Yeah,
champions.
You have a couple Adidas things over there. Yeah,
settle
down.
I have some
down.
Adidas. I do.
Yeah, settle down.
Yeah.
We are way late for a break. Let's take it now. 20 more minutes to go. Reminder, Governor Beshear over on 93.9 The Ville. It's The Take, hanging out with you until 6 o'clock on ESPN 680.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Is everything okay at home?
Oh, everything's great. Okay. Oh, it's great. Everything's fantastic. Thank you for asking. Yeah, but everything's great.
That sounds a little bit cheesy, like it's not okay.
No, it is.
Oh, everything's great. Oh, yeah, it's great. No. I mean, it souns like it's not great.
And James Strieble.
But that's all. No, buddy, you're not in trouble at all. My wife, you know, that was funny. There's no friction at all.
A little bit of friction.
No.
It's a little bit of friction.
We're very much in love. That my wife and I, not Emily.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Back at it here on this Monday edition of the show. It's a take on ESPN 680 1057. ESPN Louisville.com. We'll have the podcast up directly after the show. The SoundCloud, and also on the iTunes store there. 437-9680 is the UPS jobs text line. Mitch, you were retweeting your guys over at Barstool Sports this weekend. Do you want to tell everybody that story as we transition? I got a couple of nuggets here that we can do for some NFL talk.
Okay, I wasn't. What instance are you talking about? Are you talking about
Portnoy.
El Prez? Okay,
yeah,
that wasn't. That was taken out of context. That wasn't like, I'm speechless. Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. I'm literally speechless of, like, what's going on. So if anyone is oblivious, the president of Barstool Sports and Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, don't like each other. They, like, hate each other.
Well, they've been battling, and yeah. Barstool has done some stunts.
Yes.
And they have penetrated the press conferences of the Super Bowl, and they've been banned in a lot of instances. So there's been this feud as a bunch of Northeast Boston dudes that their beloved New England Patriots have been persecuted.
Yeah.
Barstool Sports. Yeah, Barstool Sports has, like, Goodell gear where it says Fire Goodell and, like, the pictures.
They have a clown shirt.
Yeah, a clown shirt of Goodell.
Wasn't Belichick wearing one of those? It was Belichick or somebody,
it was somebody
high up with the Patriots. Ooh. Was wearing, like, the
Barstool.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell's face with the clown nose on it.
I think it was maybe at the Super Bowl parade a couple years ago. Well, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, well, it's known as their main thing. So this over the weekend, Roger Goodell held a silent auction to raise money for coronavirus relief efforts. And one of the items was come to his house and watch a Monday night football game with him, and you can bring a plus one. And Portnoy won that. He bid $250,000.
Well, that's what they did as a company, you would imagine, right? Which is good publicity, is it not?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it worth $250,000 of
That's where I'm left speechless. Like, who wins in this matter? Does Barstool Sports win in this because it's all this free publicity?
Yes.
Or does Goodell win where it's like, man, I'm so in this guy's head. He's got to pay me $250,000 just to meet me.
It's a good question.
That's a great question.
That's what left me speechless. I think it's Goodell. My initial reaction is Goodell because, and it has nothing to do with the money. You would imagine Barstool, this is a charitable function.
Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of business breaks that they can get. And I doubt he's paying for that right out of his pocket. I don't know his financials where he's got, you know, almost $300,000.
Just laying around.
I would say it's Goodell because if he can do this and show personality. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
That it can make Roger Goodell not look like the caveman that many people believe that he is.
Because if Portnoy...
Everyone knows that Barstool Sports hates and is going to... It makes a mockery of Goodell.
Right.
But if it becomes that they do some stunt that could be like bad PR, it makes the NFL and Roger Goodell looking... It makes them look good. So I would go with them.
That's a good point, because if Portnoy goes into Goodell's man cave... wearing that stuff, and Goodell just got a big smile on his face and offers them food and drink, and he plays nice, and Portnoy kind of acts like a jerk, then everyone's going to be like, whoa, he's a D-bag. Like, Goodell has him in his home, and he's doing all these nice things, and he's being a jerk to him. So, no, I think that's a really – because you know Goodell is not going to act like a jerk to Portnoy. He's going to welcome him in his house. He's going to be like, yeah, here you go, buddy. And if Portnoy does anything – actually, it's a lose-lose situation for Portnoy. Because if he goes in there and doesn't, like, buck up to Roger Goodell, all his fans are going to say, you wimped out. What a clown
it's
you
a great,
are.
It's a great point.
But
if he goes in and acts like a jerk, that the court
then
of public opinion.
Yeah. Then he's the jerk.
Yeah,
right.
This is a
terrible move. Roger Goodell, who's got zero personality, right? You let him be the good guy, which is not easy to do. It's very difficult for Roger Goodell to be the good guy. Go ahead, Mitch.
Another scenario. What if, you know, they kind of squash the beef in there and Barstool Sports becomes, you know, an entity within the NFL and expands their company?
Well, okay, to which I would say I don't think that will happen.
There's a very small chance any of this happens.
But here's the thing. I would add that the NFL, more so than anybody, is very interested in their analysts and announcers. It's the reason that, like ESPN, I'll give you a great example. Different people, it's different strokes for different folks.
Right.
And what's his name? Oh, Colts. Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee came out and said, I'm not going to get the job on Monday Night Football. And he knows that, and he pretty much alluded to it because the people that are running ESPN, some of the talent people, they have their likings.
Yes.
And their likings would not be on such a big broadcast to throw out someone like Pat McAfee, but it's exactly what they need.
Yeah.
And so now Monday Night Football is stuck when you whiff out on Drew Brees and you whiff out on Peyton Manning again and you whiff on bringing
Tony Romo
over, then now they're in-house.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get, like, Lou Riddick would be good, but I don't know if that's just going to cure all of the evils of you know, nailing the hires for Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
But the NFL, I mean, CBS kept Tony Romo because Tony Romo is a great face for football.
Sure he is.
And so it's not even that he's CBS's face. He is, but he's also one of the faces of the NFL.
Yep.
He's got endorsement deals. He's on your biggest games. You know it's always going to be a really good game, whereas ESPN has been punished for a couple years by having bad games because they had some employees really question the ethics of the NFL. So I don't know. I figured we could mold both of those things together.
Yeah.
Like, the NFL will never be a partner with Barstool Sports the way that it's going to fight someone like Pat McAfee being on their main broadcast. But if ESPN had the full I'll give you a great example. If we're going to hire someone at 93.9, mm-hmm. well, you know it's going to be someone who's Louisville.
Right.
Right. You're not going to hire someone that you think would damage the brand of the mighty NFL, and that's what ESPN's having to work with. Otherwise, Pat McAfee would be on that broadcast in some sort of way.
Sure.
I think he could do stuff on the sideline because he's a guy that burns bright. Like, an entire three-and-a-half-hour broadcast might not be good for him, but using him on the broadcast in some sort of way. ESPN needs to try something, and they did with the Boogermobile. I'll give them credit.
Yes,
it was a swing. It was a swing and a miss, and both of those guys are fine. They're just them moving from college football didn't make any difference.
No.
The problem you have with all this is you're spending a lot of money on something that doesn't make you any money. And what I mean by that is the announcers aren't making you any money. You're CBS, you're doing that for the NFL.
Yeah.
If you're ESPN and you put Booger back on the sideline with Joe Tessitore, the ratings aren't going to plummet on Monday Night Football. I'm still going to be watching Monday Night Football, but
sure.
I don't know who they go to or what you would even do. I mean, I would say that Lou Riddick would be one guy. I would probably do something on the sidelines in some sort of way to make it fun and young with McAfee.
I think Adam Amin would have been really good too, but they just lost him to Fox.
Yeah, he went to Fox. Well, that shows you why they were paying John Gruden the way they were paying John Gruden. It's the exact same thing with CBS and Tony Romo. It's a face in the NFL. It's a guy that knows what he's talking about. He still has NFL connections. And that's why it's now, what was this, their third time trying to fill the John Gruden place, because they did it with, Jason Witten.
And that was a failure.
That was a failure. He went back to the NFL. Then Booger didn't do well.
Think about this. ESPN is holding one of the hot properties. It would be like if Kentucky basketball hiring Billy Gillespie.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that against Joe Tess or any. I mean, Wynn was bad, and Booger and Tess together, it just wasn't good.
It was.
And those guys independently are fine. If you put Booger on a broadcast and have him break down players, have him as a guest, maybe put him back on college, that is good. It just did not translate over. And Tessitore in those ESPN games was legendary. People loved Joe Tess games in the SEC, and you took him out, and you took him to the NFL, and it just didn't work out. So I don't know what they're going to do. But think about this: ESPN, you know, for being the Duke basketball or Kentucky basketball or, you know, Notre Dame football, Alabama football, I mean, they have won out and they've struck out.
Yeah.
I mean, the Booger and Tess thing did not work out. The Jason Wynn thing did not work out. They obviously couldn't keep Gruden, but he took $100 million guaranteed to go back to the Raiders. So, I mean, you understand that. You've went 2 or 3 years trying to get Peyton Manning. You've not been able to get him even on anything but these ESPN Plus things.
Oh, I know.
No one gives
no one
a damn about
that.
But so you haven't been able to get him in on your programming at all.
Which is surprising.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would be bothersome to me if I were running? And good God, we're way far away from me running ESPN. they haven't been able to nail the play-by-play guy. It's the Joe Tess thing.
Yeah.
It's the former athlete who becomes the analyst. Jason Wynn, that can be a swing and a miss. That's not crazy. You never know how good they're going to be. But it's the broadcaster that you guys bring up that you haven't been able to nail. So I don't know where they go, but they couldn't keep Gruden. They couldn't get Romo. They couldn't get Peyton Manning. They couldn't get Drew Brees. Even though Drew Brees coming back for a year, they couldn't get him.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't know if people find it. I don't know if people find it to be, like, even a good topic.
Us I
even
think it's talking, interesting. I
mean, us even talking about it, because it was, like, the story for Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
How bad that broadcast was, and it's not because of those guys. It just didn't mix.
Well, plus,
it just didn't mix.
Plus, it took ESPN a while before they nailed it with John Gruden. Because that was one of the things about Monday Night Football was the personalities.
Texas said Dockage.
Well, this sissy out here laying on the field, get him out of here.
Bobby Knight told me.
Yeah, Bobby Knight said.
Mitchell Hannigan.
Yeah, there you go. But it took, I mean, that was part of the fun of Monday Night Football, where the personalities originally in that booth with Howard Cosell, and then moving on, they didn't nail it. They had Dennis Miller on there. They had Tony Kornheiser on there.
I think you need a three-man booth.
I agree.
And then I think, who do they have? Is it Salters who is on the sideline?
Lisa
Salters on the sideline.
Yeah.
And then you have Pat McAfee doing some pregame stuff, postgame, but also being on the field, and just you use his delivery and creativity to bring something else fun out of the broadcast that is difficult to do. They're not going to do it, though. It's going to be starch, would be my guess.
And who else?
It's just going to be
Lou Reddick and...
I don't know. It's just going to be...
Boring.
That's how I view it's going to be perceived.
Safe. How about that? Safe.
Yeah. Whether it is or not, that's how I perceive it's going to be taken.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll go safe with somebody, one or two people, and then that's that. But yeah, it's just a shame because Gruden was so damn good on Monday Night Football. He was
getting
fun.
Paid $6-7 million a year to do that.
Well, they knew the value of him.
Highest paid employee. Again, I don't even know what the actual value is, but we have put a perceived value on it, that there is value of some way. Texas says, does James pee in front of his wife?
No. I find that whole, that's gross. I'm not going to pee in front of my wife.
You never, like, gone in the bathroom in front of your wife? That's like a major, like, step in relationships. Like, that's
no,
a
man,
known thing.
I keep that private, man. There's not at least in my opinion, there's not like a milestone of marriage. Is like, now we can pee in front of each other. Like, that's not on my checklist of now we're really a married couple. No. Nor has she peed in front of me.
You sure?
Yes. What a weird question. The texture, what a weird, strange question. What is that? I don't know what.
All right, Don Vito, chill out.
I think it was blue.
Fair game. Okay, good. Thank you, Blue. The answer is no.
Does he pee in front of Emily?
No. No, I've never met Emily.
Mitch, what do you want to end today's show with, sound-wise, before go to the bonus hour? I'm sure no producers cut anything for the bonus hour.
No, they actually
so you'll
did.
Be
it's ready to roll.
So what do we have? What do we have from the bonus hour? Let me guess. Diener had Pat 40 on. That's going to make the mixtape.
Yep.
Or not the mixtape, the bonus hour.
That is probably correct.
Okay, who did Bob have on today? I'm trying to think. Who did Bob have on today?
He had a Washington Post guy on, but Nick cut Bobby V on Kenny Johnson.
Oh, I'd rather hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole Washington Post thing is they send emails to radio producers, and Nick just books anyone that they have.
And then...
Whoever.
Lock show, V show, doesn't matter. Want such and such from the Washington Post.
And then yes. You'll love
is there a reason that I would want such and such from the Washington Post?
You'll love this one. Guess what he cut for Lock?
Oh, well, I mean, Lock only had that little anti...
The Kel Crowdis.
Yeah, the anti-UK kid, so that.
No, it was Andy Crashes, Midday Rush, MJ Talk.
Oh, yeah, we did some MJ Talk. That's actually the best thing that Locke did today.
There we
was
go.
Assisted by me.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. let's play this Locke sound to end today's show. How long are these clips? Let's laugh before we get out of here.
The Mother Day's fail is 25 seconds, and the tipping's 15 seconds.
Let's get to the tipping. Lachlan McClain bragging about him being a good tipper. Go ahead.
Again, I know I didn't get mad. I didn't get impatient. I didn't yell at anyone. I still tipped heartily, 33%, which is my new tipping rule in this circumstance. Again, after I waited 2 hours, I still tipped 33% because I know the workers there are trying as hard as they can.
Is that a a humble brag?
Just an outstanding citizen, Lachlan McClain.
Did Locke do a I tip nearly 33% as a humble brag during quarantine?
I'm helping these people out.
Oh, God, that's great. That's gold.
Yeah.
And then the Mother's Day fail. Go ahead, Mitch.
I remember watching the Michael Jordan retirement press conference. We were in a hotel together because I know I wasn't at home. Like, I have this vague memory I wasn't at home. And she goes, honey, that was 1993. We hadn't remotely met yet. No kidding. We weren't, it wasn't us in a hotel together. It might have been someone else. And I go, oh, yeah, it's a good point. Nice Mother's Day fail on my part. I must have been with another girlfriend watching that press conference in a hotel.
Oh, Locke. Oh, hey, honey, you remember that time we were in that hotel room?
Remember all those crazy things that we did in that hotel room?
Yeah.
And then Michael Jordan retired.
We were watching it from the heart-shaped jacuzzi. That wasn't me, Locke. He was shining bright.
Yes, he was. Is Governor Beshear done? Do you have any idea, Mitch? I'm just asking you. I don't think so.
Right. I think he's still going.
He's probably halfway through. He's
he
hasn't even got to the numbers yet.
Or the census.
Yes. So Governor Beshear is over on 93.9 The Ville. And then obviously Drew Diener, Jason Nemus, last call. They'll take you after that. Some bonus hour your way next. Scotty D tonight. Busy night here on ESPN Louisville.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.